If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And what was it called?
NLT.
You know
NLT. She clearly knows it is going. What does NLT stand for? That's my next question.
What does it stand for, Kevin?
Not like them.
Not like them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. All boy band names are good. That's the thing about boy bands. They all make sense and they're all good.
Hi, my name is Jenna.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are
best friends.
Give me a break. Hello, everybody. It's me, Brian Baumgartner here. And welcome back to another episode of Off the Beat. Today, we have not one. No. We have two amazing guests, a threesome, if you will. Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz will join me today. I am so excited to talk to them. They are both old friends of mine. You might know them from their time on Glee as Artie and Tina because, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it is just one of those shows that everyone knows. Whether it's for the crazy storylines, the incredible cast, or, well, that it came from genius Ryan Murphy. If you can dream it, it happened on Glee. I'm excited to jump right in here. We talk about their origins, Kevin's boy band, Jenna's Broadway career, and how their friendship has led them to their new rewatch podcast, And That's What You Really Missed. And most of all, you're going to hear all about Kevin's role on The Office. That's right. As a Kevin on The Office myself, I think we just get each other. This is a fun one. Let's bring them on. Kevin and Jenna, everybody.
Bubble and squeak. I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning. Left, oh, from the night before.
What's up, you guys?
What's up, Brian?
Hey.
How are you?
Good to see you.
I mean, it's been so long.
It's been 84 years.
So 84, long.
84 years.
It's been 56.
Wow. Great to see both of you.
You too.
Immediately brings back memories.
I hope good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, really good ones. Some of them we can't tell, but many, many good ones. So this is my first threesome, by the way.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm so honored. We'll be gentle.
It is. It's usually one-on-one here, but we're going threesome today.
The more the merrier.
So I'm going to spend most of the time talking about when you guys were reborn, meaning the day the two of you met and started working together. But I did want to go back a little bit briefly individually. I guess ladies first. Jenna, your childhood, when did you start becoming interested in the arts?
Well, I was always interested in the arts, I think. But I was put into the business when I was three.
So
I was doing commercials and print ads from three on. And my first commercial was like the Toys R Us commercial. And then I started doing Sesame Street. And then right around the age of nine, I auditioned for my first Broadway musical. And I had done school plays and things like that before. And I had done, you know, some commercials, but like this is a totally different caliber of work. So I auditioned for The King and I, the 1996 revival with Lou Diamond Phillips and Donna Murphy. And somehow I booked it. There were 15 kids and somehow I booked it.
You did a number of shows on Broadway when you were very young, including Spring Awakening. Now, was your future co-star involved at that time or no?
Yes. So Leah was in the original cast. Leah and Groff both were in the original cast of Spring Awakening, obviously. And then I joined at the tail end of their run and into the new cast. So I got a taste of both casts of Spring Awakening. But yes, I was there. And Leah was on Broadway doing Les Mis when I was doing The King and I as well. So we had known each other since that time.
Really? Was she Cosette?
Yes, little young Cosette.
Young
she went with her friend.
I knew that. She was old Cosette at 11.
It feels, it would feel appropriate for her character, I played Cosette at the ripe age of 8.
Yes. Wow. So you were on Broadway. Did you grow up in New York?
Yeah. I grew up on Long Island.
Okay.
So I was very close to a straight shot to the city, if you will.
Right. And this was, when you're three and you're put into things, this is not a choice. This is not a passion. By the time you're nine, are you full? You're full.
I am in. You're locked and loaded.
It
was like the Broadway camaraderie and family experience of doing a show of that size. It was like 52 cast members or something crazy like that. I was in love. I was my parents will tell you, I was the first one at the theater and the last one out. They'd be like, where is Jenna? Please let, because they didn't let the parents backstage. So they wait at the stage door for me. It was a 3-hour show. And they'd be like, can she please come out and leave?
They wouldn't let them backstage?
No,
is that normal?
Which is brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Brilliant.
Is that normal? Or can they do that?
Yeah, they can because we have wranglers backstage that are hired to take care of us. So when the wranglers bring us to the door.
Okay.
And they're like, keep these crazy stage parents away.
Now, I haven't talked to anybody about this. I've talked to plenty of people who did theater, but not. Now, are you schooling at this time as well?
Well, so during rehearsals, during the 6-week rehearsal, I was doing, we were homeschooled. We were tutored on set, basically.
Tutored on set.
Yeah. I was 9. I was in 4th grade. And so I would go to school and then I would go do the show, except for Wednesdays when my parents let me take off because I had a matinee.
Were you doing all of them?
Yeah, I'm doing 8 shows a week.
You didn't have a double cast?
No, it's. I think it's like 6 or 7 that you can do it. You can do the full show. So I was doing the full 8 shows. My parents were driving me back and forth every day. And then I would go to school and then they would pick me up and we'd drive to the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is insane.
It's pretty awesome.
I feel so bad for your parents. Yeah, I know.
I know, right?
I mean, I was doing, not to make this about me, but I was doing the 8 shows a week thing as well. But when I was fully able to drive myself or get myself somewhere, I wasn't reliant on, I mean, adults. That's significant. Yes.
Yeah. It's hard because a lot of parent kids were like, I want to do that. And a lot of parents would ask my parents, like, how do you do it? And my dad was able to work out of the office. This is when cell phones were just starting to like be a thing and pagers. I remember if I would get a call back, my agent would page my dad and then we'd have to call them back. But like, you know, it was just one of those times where my mom had stopped working when she had my brother and me. And so like, or when they adopted me, but like when, you know, she was able to take me up to the auditions and my dad would wait in the car or circle around or double park and like work while he was doing that. So it was a real commitment from both parties.
Someone I just talked to brought something up to me. I've never thought of it this way before. This was his theory. Our education system is set up in a flawed manner in that we go to school with people exactly our same age, like within a 12-month period of time.
Right.
And he talked to me about the arts. In the theater, you are socially, and in some ways, in terms of even your real education, if you're doing set school or whatever, you have the experience and the perspective of people with such a wide range. And isn't that a much more natural way, actually, of being educated and growing up? Did you start to feel that when you were doing shows?
I agree. I think that's an interesting point. It's being surrounded by kids where I was somewhat their elder and then also kids that were a little bit older than me, but also being around adults, like being around cast members that kind of took us under their wing, that played our mothers that were probably in their early 20s at that point, you know, mid-20s dancers. And like, I felt like I got a lot more world experience than the kids around me and that I was going back to school with every day. And I felt like just my world experience was bigger and more expansive. And I absolutely agree with you. I think it is a fascinating idea. And my husband works in education. He would love this. But it's definitely something that I attest to. The groundedness that I learned at a young age, the humility I learned at a young age, the discipline I learned at that point. So I am 100% on board with that. And I think about that for like my daughter, like what can I share with her through the arts or through these experiences that I had being around adults at a younger age, more than like kids my own age. And I think like being around, you know, of course we go to school with the kids because you're supposed to be in this developmental age where everybody's developing at the same time, but that's just not it. That's not it either. Like babies don't develop at the same time. One baby's, you know, rolling and one baby isn't. Like it's the standardized testing bullshit that we have in our, you know, US education system that's quite flawed. So, yeah.
Right. No, but even what you say, like even just the valuable experience of dealing with kids who are younger.
Totally.
They're not teaching you algebra, but they're certainly teaching you, you know, and
you're showing you the world, like things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And social interactions. And yes, as you said, people who are older as well, and even adults who well, maybe sometimes they're not teaching you the right things to do, but at least you learn through failure and bad experience.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Kevin, hi. Not
hello.
New York, but Texas. Mm-hmm. You were born Indeed. And raised. Talk to me a little bit about your introduction into the arts. And at what age did you realize this is what you wanted to do?
I don't really have a memory with me not being interested in the arts. I didn't realize until much later, though, that it was something that I could pursue as more than just a hobby or an interest. I don't know if it was just being from Texas or that I was just a little slow or something, but I was like, you know, famous people do that. Like, this is, I wanted to be a meteorologist or an architect. That was my plan. But I was always, I was obsessed with MTV, and music was my thing. Like, I would always sing around the house. I would watch music videos and study. I would learn all the dances, all the choreography, mimic their movements and how they performed. And I was the youngest of four. I am the youngest of four. And we're all very spread out. So I also had a really great education in diversity of music, because all of my siblings listened to different things. And so I would go to school and I would know these artists that know, going to sort of what you were just talking about with Jenna, education about being around people different ages. I had this breadth of musical knowledge that no one else my age did.
Right.
And I valued that really early on. But then my sister became an agent in Texas. She's 16 years older than me. She became an acting agent. And I remember she was telling me they're auditioning for this movie. It was a sequel to a movie that I had loved. And I was like, I want to audition for it.
What was the movie?
It was, they're making a sequel to Little Rascals.
Okay.
I don't think it ever got made. Because they saw me, they're like, you know, let's not even bother. This is
are
gonna
you
be bad.
85 now? What do you mean a sequel to
the Little Rascals that came out when we were kids and like in the 90s?
I love that movie.
That Little Rascals.
Okay,
oh, that it was one. The reboot of the Little Rascals. Yeah, not OG Little Rascals.
I was a huge fan of the original. It's like, what are you
Kevin
talking
just,
about?
Just got a facelift. He got a lot of work done.
Yeah, I look very good. When you met me, I definitely was not 17. And so I forced her. She was not like a children's agent either. She was, you know, an adult agent. And I somehow wore her down and let me audition. And then her agency signed me, you know, nepotism.
Okay.
And then I started doing commercials in Dallas and things and started taking singing lessons and dance lessons. And then she sort of suggested to my parents that, you know, maybe take me out to L.A. to try it. And we came out to L.A. I think I was 13 the first time.
Okay. What year is this?
What year was I born? 88. It was probably like 2003, 2002.
You were born on June 14th, 1988, Kevin.
Yeah. So I think we started coming out here like 2002 or 2003. I just remember we drove to L.A. from Dallas. And when we drove back, entering Dallas, I started to cry because I didn't want to be there. And I just felt so at home in LA and that everything felt artistic. You know, going back to middle school in Texas, it was just football. And I didn't do anything extracurricular at school. Everything was outside of it. And in LA, everyone was already doing that. And so because I was the youngest, my parents and we moved out here sort of with the opposite mindset of stage parents, where they were like, we want to get the hell out of Texas. You want to get the hell out of Texas. So it was just, I'm going to go to high school in LA and see what happens. And then I go on auditions, but if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And then, you know, I got into a boy band and auditioned
for
things.
That's where we're going next. But I don't want to make this awkward. You would have been 3 to 7 years old. Were you aware of me? I went to SMU in Dallas. Were you aware of my, you know, my prowess? I don't know what the word is I'm looking for.
Everybody
here.
Was.
Did you feel the energy of me in Dallas for those few years?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you cried later on, because I had left already.
Yeah. It's like, well, he's not here, so what's the point?
What is the point?
No.
Yes, I was there for 4 years. Wow. SMU.
SMU has turned out some greats.
SMU has turned out some greats.
We're sitting with one right now.
Me? Yeah. Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates, of course. Greer Garson. I think that's right. Some greats. Okay, boy band.
Yeah.
So you go. Now, do you leave school? You can't leave school. You have to still be going to school at 13.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. So you go to school out in California.
So we end up moving to California when I was 15.
Okay.
Yeah. It took a couple years to decide, like, what are we going to do? My brother, closest in age to me, you know, went to college. And so we're like, okay, well, now I'm basically an only child. What do you guys want to do? Ever since my dad lost his job in 2001. And so he was sort of popping around, you know, when all that sort of like telecom thing he did sort of busted a little bit. And so everyone was looking for a change. I was obsessed with boy bands, obsessed with pop music. And there was a random audition. I had a dance agent at the time, which is hilarious in hindsight because I'm not
a good dance, to have a dance agent.
Yeah.
I didn't know those existed.
Was the goal to be a boy band artist?
I don't think it was. I didn't think it was pop. Like, again, boy bands like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were sort of like done. The craze was over. So I was like, I missed the boat. And then someone held auditions and I showed up and got it. And then was in a boy band from like 14 until 19, basically.
And what was it called?
NLT.
Jenna, don't you, you know
NLT. She clearly knows it is going. What does NLT stand for? That's my next question.
What does it stand for, Kevin?
Not like them.
Not like them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. All boy band names are good. That's the thing about boy bands. They all make sense and they're all good.
So, okay, there's so much to unpack here.
Your
friend here is doing Broadway musicals. You're in a boy band. You love it, though. You always wanted to be in a boy band. Yeah. You're loving boy
bands.
Yeah,
it was
this
great.
Is a dream for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in it for 4 or 5 years. Now, are you touring?
We did. We eventually did a little touring. When we were young, there wasn't that much going
on. Where? Like internationally or to
Albuquerque? Just the U.S. A lot of that. We did two tours. The first tour, we were in a 1-800-CRUISE-AMERICA RV following around. We opened up for the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I've heard of
them. And these beautiful tour buses.
I want to be very, very clear. I am not making fun of Albuquerque. Okay, I want that on the record before anything.
Somebody comes for you.
It's not New York City Broadway.
Hashtag love Albuquerque. I was more saying, are you going to Paris,
right,
or Mexico City, or are we going to Albuquerque?
No.
Okay, now that's clear.
It was definitely very local.
1-800-CRUISE-AMERICA tells the story there. Okay. And then the second tour was what?
The second
private
tour
jet?
We had proper tour buses. And at that point, a couple other people had ideas to put boy bands together. So we went on like a boy band tour to House of Blues all around America.
Okay.
Yeah. Wasn't very successful. I think.
How many House of Blueses are there across America?
There used to be a lot.
Mm-hmm. There was a time. There were pop-ups too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was before they all started closing. But we went all over the place. That was a while. And I relate to what Jenna was saying about being around older people in that time, because we were the youngest people around. The music business is way, I don't know if I can cuss, but crappier.
Say whatever you want.
It's shittier than
the
acting business. There's no equity. There's no SAG or AFTRA. It's just every man for themselves. And my parents, or all of our parents at that time, were all very aware of that and very protective. So they did a good job with that. But it's just like deals are bad. Everyone's screwing you over. We had, you know, we'd go to New York, audition for record labels. And so we had to learn as 15, 16 year olds how to be around these people and how to operate professionally and be a performer. And in high school, then I was during the daytime going to class, at nighttime going to the recording studio. We got signed to Geffen, which was under Interscope. And so I remember there was a party. We went and I met Stevie Nicks and Mary J. Blige. And then the next day going to school and no one has any idea that this is like what I'm doing at nighttime.
That's crazy.
But it was a really good education, especially with Glee coming, because I did the touring. I did the dance rehearsals, I recording studio, all of that.
Don't
press.
Tease. Don't take my tease. God damn.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction.
It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change. You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you a fan of Broadway musicals as a boy band member, or are you disdainful or dismissive or uninterested of that?
I was probably mostly uninterested.
Uninterested.
I grew up, my mom took me to every touring show that came through Dallas. I was obsessed with Phantom of the Opera as a kid.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I'd put on shows in my living room. But besides that, I didn't necessarily have an interest and keeping up with it, what was happening on Broadway. I didn't really know that world. Yeah, there was not so much, more of an indifference, I guess, towards musical theater.
Okay. And now, the same token, Jenna, as you're someone who's performing on Broadway, now, are you a fan of boy bands at this time? Are you?
Massive.
Are you?
Yeah, I didn't know NLT.
I did know
Dream Street.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I did know, obviously, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Who are they? No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
So, I was a big.
Oh, so you were a fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't what I expected you to say.
Oh, really?
But actually, both of you said what I didn't expect you to say, which is why we asked the questions
right
here.
The hard questions.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So before we get to you guys is meeting, you guys is
yeah.
Yes.
The time you guys met, Kevin, I actually met you before Jenna. You were a very significant guest star on The Office when you were 17-ish years of age. How was that experience for you? The delivery boy, I believe was your title, pizza delivery boy from Alfredo's. What was that experience like for you, and how much experience did you have at that time in film and television? It sounds like not a lot.
Not a lot. It was, I think, my second guest star thing ever. The other one was Zoe 101 on Nickelodeon.
Wow.
And it was a really, really big thing for me. The audition process was unlike anything I'd ever experienced, where the callbacks, we were in the room with Steve and he came in and read with us.
Oh, wow.
You know, Steve Carell. I'll just say Steve. I was dying. I was so terrified.
Really? Oh, were you now? Were you a fan of the show?
Oh yeah, okay. I was a fan of the UK version. Like I was all about it. And Allison Jones, the casting director, is probably the only reason why I've had any sort of career, because she, when no one else did, kept giving me chances on everything. So I got really close in Superbad. Aww. She just, if you get on TV and you become semi-recognizable, you get to skip a couple rounds of auditioning and you just get brought into the later rounds. I didn't have any reason to get brought into automatically to later rounds for things. She just started doing that for me because somehow she believed in me, and I really took that to heart and made me feel better when I would go into these rooms that she would bring me into. But yeah, I went in and auditioned with Steve and got it, and I screamed and was freaking out. And then all of you were just so, so awful. No, so nice.
I knew you were going to say that.
I was so intimidated, obviously, coming in there. It's like, these are these professional adults and they're all talented and funny. And I felt like, you know, severe case of imposter syndrome. And everyone went out of their way to make me feel comfortable, to make me feel like I deserved to be there. Every one of you. And it was just really, really great. And also, what a great gig you guys had. Because, I mean, Jenna, those sets were pre-lit.
Oh my God.
The way they could set up something so quickly. They were on their own. They had their own stage. Oh God, it was the dream.
Yeah.
So you ruined it for anything else, because
I feel like you also got still.
Oh, I get recognized from the office so often from that one episode, and it's absolute. I don't know how you go anywhere, because I was in one episode, and
you still do. I can't, by the way, but you still do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a lot crazy, because I went back and looked at those pictures, and you do look quite different.
Yeah.
I mean, you are older. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
So am I guess. That's how time works. I'll explain it to you later. Wow. Well, that is very, very interesting. Yeah. I don't know that I would have thought that with everything that's come after.
Still.
So you guys, to say the least, you have a very diverse training and backgrounds. Talk to me about Glee. How did the opportunities come up for both of you? Were these just auditions first off?
Yes. Yeah, regular audition. Yes.
Okay. And what did you have to do? Obviously, did you have to dance as well as sing as well you as think. Act? You did not.
No. Yeah. And they realized that was probably a mistake later on. I had to bring in some people who could dance. Yeah.
They're like, nobody can dance?
Yeah, not one. Not even everybody can sing.
I was in Spring Awakening at the time, and it was the same casting director, Jim Carnahan, in New York, who cast Spring Awakening, was also casting the New York side of Glee. And so we had it was all a buzz in the theater, and they were like, oh, there's this new musical theater TV show that's coming out, and everybody got brought in for it.
Right.
The pilot also was like, some of these characters like Artie and Tina were pretty nonspecific. And so I went in, and everybody went in, and we didn't have to sing for our first audition because they were like, I guess you're on Broadway. I guess you can sing. So I didn't have to sing in my first call. I just went on tape.
And just read lines like at any other show.
Yeah. Yeah. And literally Tina's only line was a stutter. And she said, and that's it. That was my entire first audition. Well,
God, that's all you did? They didn't give you anything else?
Nope.
I don't even think I knew that. Mm-hmm. That's it?
That was it.
Wow.
Well, I'm not going to say anything bad, but that they got to be more creative than that. This is poor people. Okay. Yeah, I mean, literally by a weird stutter on one day, your entire life could be changed.
Yeah,
sliding truly. Doors. Check out the movie. So, Kevin, what about you? Well, now you're in a boy band.
That's right.
Does that mean that they knew that you could sing, or did you have to sing?
They sure did not know I could sing.
Okay.
So we had to sing. You'd prepare a song. I read the script before. I remember I brought two friends with me. I was like, oh, this show shoots in New York. I don't know why I thought that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I had it probably mixed up with something else.
Mm.
And I went in and auditioned. And it wasn't an audition room. It was in Robert Ulrich who casted it. It was like in his office. And I just sat on the other side of the desk from him. And it was one of those places where the walls are really thin so you can hear what everybody is doing.
Ulrich, Dawson, and Kritzer. Is this what you're talking about?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my God, those walls are really thin.
They're paper thin. And so,
so awkward.
Yeah.
That's what casting
directors. It's awkward on a good day when there's no singing.
Yeah. Right. Oh, with singing.
Brutal.
I would die. A thousand deaths.
And that's how I felt because I, one, have terrible nerves auditioning, hate auditioning, and then having to sing. Like the first thing to like go when you get nervous is your voice. Like your vocal cords just freeze up. And then you can hear what everybody's doing. It's just so embarrassing, mortifying. Oh my so God. I went in there. I sang Let It Be. I never heard of it. Let It Be. It's a new song.
Kidding.
These indie artists. I intentionally only prepared like a verse and a chorus because the song is so slow. So I was like, I'm not going to bore them to death. Let me do this.
You.
Then I get to the end of the chorus and Robert goes, like, keep going.
Keep going.
And I'm like, I'm a fake fan. I don't know the second verse of this.
Oh, no.
And so I don't know what I did. I think I sort of stumbled through singing this first verse again and then went into the chorus again because I knew that.
Wow.
And then I did the scenes. And then immediately, which also never happens, he's like, okay, so when you come back and start talking about the next audition, I was like,
oh.
What?
That's nice.
Okay, great. And then I went back 2 days later to Ryan's office at Paramount, and it went from being at Robert's desk to a boardroom, basically. It was a full table of 15 people.
Right.
You know, in this gigantic room. Brad Ellis, who ended up being on the show and playing the piano, he was there. We went early to practice our songs with him, and I prepared two songs this time. Ended up still doing Let It Be, and yeah, it was the full I learned the words.
Did you? Yeah,
I was prepared this time.
The second verse. Okay.
Yeah, I was so. It wasn't that I was. I don't think I was good at playing the character. I was just so nervous that that's what Artie became. Because I did the song, the nerves were already, and then I literally ran out of the room. And that was it. Like, I think Ian Brennan, who's one of the creators of the show later, he told me, he was like, yeah, we knew from that immediately we wanted you. But I had to wait 7 weeks to test because they hadn't found anybody else yet.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Then I met Jen and I met in LA on the test.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get there, apparently you just love name dropping single first names of famous people. So Steve, it's Ryan. Ryan Murphy is who he's talking about, the creator of Glee and many other shows.
It's just hard when you know so many famous people, Ryan. Ugh.
Just call me B. From now on, when you're like, well, yeah. I was just talking to B.
Yeah. And it's not Beyonce.
What? Oh, yeah. I guess. Did she take
Damn.
It?
She did.
First impressions or too soon at that point. You're nervous around a board table.
Of Ryan Murphy and Co.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just sort of looked like the Last Supper to me.
Okay.
Where it was a lot of people. I didn't really know much about Ryan.
I know who he is in that famous photo.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely it did look like the Last Supper.
Okay.
Stop. That's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys test and you meet friendly right away. Do you remember meeting each other at the test?
Oh,
like later on?
Yeah. We weren't necessarily, I think we were all nervous talking. It's one of those things. It's also weird because you're in the room with the person you're testing against.
Right. So there was Chris Colfer, who was testing against himself, basically, for Kurt Hummel. And then there was me and another girl who tested for Tina, both from New York. And then there was Kevin and another person from New York also testing for Artie.
Yeah.
So there are five of us in the room. We all arrive. This is our first network test ever, all of us.
And Chris and I had met 2 days prior for the studio test. So we were
sitting there
in
silence, like, this is the weirdest thing ever. And they're like, and by the way, you can't leave until everybody finishes their auditions. You're like, what is this, jail? And so, like, it was really weird. And then we're all sitting there pretty silently. I had just literally flown in on a red eye from a show the night before. So I had flown in on a red eye. They put me up at the Intercontinental. They let me shower. And then I had to walk my ass to Fox and get in that room. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden we hear like a gust of wind and like Ryan Murphy walks in and he's like, hey guys, are you nervous? Don't be nervous. We just want you to be, I feel happy and excited. We're nervous as you are. And then like walks away and you're like, okay.
That didn't help.
In some weird way, it did. He like broke the ice a little bit. And then we all like kind of smiled and laughed at each other. And that was that.
Yeah. Acknowledging the elephant in the room. Like, this is a sort weird of fucked up situation. Good luck.
So weird.
It is a weird situation. Anytime I tell, and I don't even know if I've talked about it on this. Anytime I tell people who are not in our industry about that experience, which is essentially... You have pre-negotiated your life away for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You have pre-negotiated your life away potentially for 7 years. And it's done as long as they sign it, basically. You've signed it away.
Right.
It's done.
Right. They're just hanging on to that piece of paper.
And if not, you have literally put yourself through a torture for no reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how much money you'll be making.
Yes.
And for us, we signed, it included touring and albums.
Album contracts.
And merchandising.
Oh, really?
And we were nobodies, so we had no...
I had no concept. They're like, are you sure you want to sign this? I'm like, are you joking? Of course I'm going to sign this. You know?
Pre-negotiated your tour rights and merchandise? Everything.
Because High School Musical had happened a couple years before.
Right.
And they weren't, their first tour, they weren't locked into a deal.
Oh, and, really?
And so High School Musical ended up, those kids made a lot of money on tour.
Well, and Fox also had American Idol, which they had also like some experience in this, like this realm. So it was like a 360 deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Zyn.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Spoiler alert, you both get it. How many years were you working together?
Six.
I mean, it was 7 years, but six seasons because we,
right,
how we shot it. Yeah. 6.5 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And you, the two of you, close from the beginning, or was this a relationship that needed time to cook?
Close from the beginning.
Yeah. Immediately. We were close. Yeah.
There was Chris, me, Amber, and Kevin had been brought together to start rehearsing some of the music very early on. We were brought out to shoot the pilot, but we were brought out, I was brought out from New York weeks before to rehearse for the pilot. So it's not like a normal TV show where you, you know, have a table read and then you show up on the day and you start shooting like the pilot. It was like weeks of rehearsal before we started this show. So like Don't Stop Believin', there were like five different versions of this song that we had rehearsed. And every time Ryan would come in and be like, not right, and then leave.
What?
And and you know, Chris and I had come from, Chris came from Clovis, California. He drove down and stayed in LA, and I had flown out from New York. And so we spent a lot of time together, the four of us, because we didn't have a lot of friends or anybody in LA. We were right here solely for Glee.
Okay. By the way, I have heard stories from some of your crew. How do you get these musical numbers done in the number of days you have to shoot?
We did.
How is this achieved? Just blood and sweat and tears?
Literally. The show was always scheduled to, I mean, our show was normally scheduled to shoot for 8 days.
That's right.
I think maybe we made 8 days a handful of times.
Never.
In those 6 years. But I think realistically,
what?
10?
Probably 10. Yeah.
Probably 10.
So we would start doubling up on episodes. But the musical numbers, they had to basically, anytime the, you know, quotes, the adults, Matt Morrison or Jane Lynch, anytime they were filming and then we weren't with them, we were in dance rehearsal or the recording studio. Like sometimes, you know, your lunch break involves you getting in a car and eating on the way to the recording studio.
Putting down a song for a half hour, turning around and getting back into touch-ups to go back to set.
Yeah. So it was...
It was intense.
You didn't have a recording studio on your set?
No, that would have really actually helped, but
studios are expensive.
They're very expensive. And we didn't spend a ton of time at the recording studio. You'd be pretty... Unless you were doing like a massive solo song, like you were in and out pretty quickly.
The beginning we spent efficient. More time. Yeah. There was for some reason more time. So as it got going, we would later on, as the years went by, that's when we'd have like those very quick lunch break turnaround things. But the first 13 episodes of the first season, we were sometimes in the recording studio for like half a day because everyone was still figuring out the formula.
What this was, right.
Yeah. So, you know, once we got through that, then there were demo singers who were doing each of our parts and all of that was planned out before we ever entered. So we were just going in and copying somebody to save time. Mm-hmm. But in those early days, Adam Ryan Anders, who was there. The music producer, and yeah, Ryan would be there and they're figuring out our voices, what can our voices do, who sounds best together,
right?
That sort of thing.
So the musical numbers, essentially, like logistically, as we got into them, they built the stage to scale from the stages we shot on, the auditorium that we shot on in Long Beach, because the first season we were driving back and forth to Long Beach in order to do musical numbers, and we were exhausted. And so, was it second season or back?
Yeah, it was. No, they had finished it like 4 or 5 episodes into season 2.
they built us the stages, thank God, the auditorium. And essentially, as guest directors would come in, new ones that weren't returning, they would have to kind of learn the formula of how to get this done. And it was very much like a paint by numbers at that point. Like, camera new, you go, you start from the back, you get the crane if you want it, you move up, you get the two on the side, we get the dolly, we get the steady, we bring the steady cam on stage, you turn it around, you get their reactions, you get behind our legs and our feet, and then you're out. And it essentially started to take like a 7-8 hour day scene to do a musical number versus Don't Stop that took like a day and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the goal was always to try to finish one of those big musical numbers by lunch, but we'd always have to come back and do
turnaround.
Yeah, turnaround or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk on Reddit. What would you say the craziest Glee storyline of all time?
God.
Oh, God.
Kevin has an STD.
Oh, yeah. Me talking about STDs. The craziest, you know, I have to say, I mean, in the very beginning, like the hysterical pregnancy was pretty crazy. Like that was a wild storyline, and then plotting to steal a student's baby. So like, right. You know, that happened immediately. Like, there was no time to like, oh, no, right. That's just a part of Glee. That's just baked in.
That was a pretty wild one.
Yeah.
What about Quinn getting in a car accident?
That was going to be my second one. Yeah.
And then being in a wheelchair for a while. So, like, her and Artie got some time together. And then she magically healed and was okay.
And then me saying, I'm still standing.
Which was very uncomfortable and cringy. That was a really weird one.
That was weird.
That was weird.
I have a quiz.
Uh-oh.
Well, we're going to fail, so.
We're definitely going to fail.
Glee pilot edition.
Okay,
two
fine.
Truths and a lie.
Okay. Great. Actually, pilot we know, I think.
All right. Two truths and a lie. Number one, Emma's parents were gender supremacists. Two,
we're going to fail this, aren't we?
Will Schuster belly danced in the library. Three, there was a school riot about a tater tot ban in the cafeteria. Two truths and a lie. What's the lie?
I think I have a guess, Jenna. Do you have a guess?
Yeah. I think the second one.
Belly dancing.
The belly dancing was a lie.
You're saying the belly dancing never happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, that was just in my imagination. Correct. You win.
Okay.
That was close.
That was close. That would have been really embarrassing.
No, it wouldn't have been. I would fail many, many a quizzes, but that was fun. I got to bring that back. Great job, producers, coming up with that one. I like the looks on your faces of pure
scared.
Horror and shock. Yeah. You guys are going back. You're going back to school.
Yeah.
That's right.
There was a transition.
We're masochists.
Kevin,
we are.
Listen how I do this. You're going back to school, and that's what you really missed. New podcast. Are you having fun? You're cool. Back together.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Which is great.
It's always great.
It's always easy with each other, you know?
Yeah. No, we are. We're enjoying it. We're enjoying the podcast. Obviously, we've done this before, so it's an interesting idea, but... We're grateful to be reimagining and rebranding. And this take is a bit more intentional and a bit more honest and raw and open about people's experiences on the show. And, you know, we're just kind of taking a deeper dive. So it's definitely, yes, we are enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
And you're doing a benefit, I understand.
Yes.
Raising fun and awareness. Well, you had a castmate. Do you want to talk about Naya Rivera a little bit?
Yeah, our castmate, Naya Rivera, who passed away a couple of years ago, she was a big supporter of Alexandria House, which is this incredible local LA organization that helps women and children who are in need of transitional housing. And after she passed away, we're looking for anything to do good and also sort of honor her memory amongst us, you know, her coworkers and friends. And she used to throw these crazy, amazing Christmas parties called Snixmas because her nickname was Snix. And
they were like extravagant Christmas
parties. She did every year
at
her home?
Yeah.
Her house?
She'd invite all the crew and cast.
She would have like carolers at the front. There was a Santa sleigh. There was like the DJ was in a tower at one point. Like they covered the pool, made a dance studio, the dance floor. Like it was. I was like, who negotiated your contract? Because you know, truly,
she would tell me. She's like, I think I'm gonna spend this much money. I was like, why? Like nobody.
She loved hosting a party.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Snixmas was an annual event. And so we thought, what better way than for the holidays to raise funds for Alexandria House, keep Naya's memory alive, and keep Snixmas alive. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's our third, which I can't believe we're already at our third Snixmas. And this year, you know, iHeart has been incredibly generous to allow us to use their theater in Burbank. And we are doing our first in-person event in Los Angeles on December 6th. And then December 8th, where it's going to be live streamed for those who can't make it. And all the live streamers who have been there with us over Zoom the last couple of years as well. Like, this is really a grassroots operation is what we call it. There's no donation that is too small. I think the first year we raised over $100,000, and the average donation amount was probably $10. So it was pretty...
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, pretty mind-blowing. So we're really excited about it. Yeah,
December the 6th, 7 o'clock, the iHeart Theater there in, what is Johnny Carson used to say, beautiful downtown Burbank.
That's right.
congratulations. Thanks, you guys, for doing that. I'm excited for you. Everyone's talking about the podcast. Congratulations on that. I'm glad you guys are back together and doing
it.
It's really fun and it's great to see both of you again. Let's do it more often.
Yeah.
For sure. Thanks for having us.
Oh, we should have, you know, there was an episode of The Office where they referenced my character on Glee.
Yes.
So maybe we need to have you come on to our show and we can talk about that episode.
Now is crossover. That the one? Is that the viewing party where we have a Glee viewing party?
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
it. Was
it.
Really meta and I loved it and I appreciated it.
Very meta.
Yeah.
All I can remember right now is I think that's where I ate pigs in a blanket
Yeah. That sounds familiar to me. Yeah. And you know, and thank you again. Classic. Like you were all so, so great to me when I was on that show. And it really helped me and informed me how when I became a regular on a show to hopefully be, you know, a fraction as accommodating and welcoming as you guys were to me. So thanks for that.
No, and you know, I could make a joke right now, but I won't because I think it's because I think honest to God, look, we were a cast of grownups, if you will. And I guess what I mean by that is so many of us had failed pilots or had been in the theater. And so everybody felt grateful and lucky to be there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us had been on the other side of it and knew how that felt. And it's like, I don't know, this is what I always say. It takes just as much energy to be nice as it does to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. So why not choose that? And ultimately, it's a better work environment, right? That's so
thank you
for saying that. Congrats, you guys. Thank you for doing this Snixmas stuff. And happy holidays.
You too.
I'll
see you in the new year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
See ya.
Jenna, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today. It was great catching up. You're awesome. I can't wait to listen to your new podcast, and thank you for keeping the Snixmas spirit alive. Merry Snixmas, everyone. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm going to see you next week for another interview on Off the Beat. It's going to be a good one. More stories, more laughs, more of everything. I'll catch you then. We're coming into the holiday season. Who could it be? Maybe Santa. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Sammy Katz. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.